Well, already, gang, welcome back to the Act of Self Protection podcast. I am your favorite former Fed. With me today, two new friends of mine. They are Scott and Juliana. They are from Florianopolis. Did I get that right? Brazil?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, folks, from Brazil. This is our like our fourth or fifth international episode. And we now get an episode from the font of so much of our content, beautiful, luscious, scenic Brazil in South America. So we appreciate you guys coming on. What's the time difference, by the way? I meant to ask you. It's 9 a.m. here. What time you got?
It is 1:14.
Yeah. 1:14. Okay. For some reason, it seems like we're in a straight line, longitudinally, but I guess you guys are ahead of us. So with that said, so when you wrote to me, you mentioned you guys are in the process of getting yourselves to the United States, which makes me ask, how did you guys meet? You seem like a lovely couple. You're from the United States, and Scott and Juliana, you're from Brazil. So how did this romance begin? I think our listeners would love to know that to start out with.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell it. You want me to tell? So we're both members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and okay. I served a mission there back in 2012. Made a lot of friends, and went back to visit in 2021. And one of my friends was like, "Hey, you're single. You should meet my friend Juliana." And it kind of went from there. So we went out and hit it off.
You love to hear it. So it's funny. I know a ton of LDS people. My two best friends in high school were both LDS, and we would always joke about how they were trying to Shanghai me and throw me in the trunk and take me to the Mormon temple in DC. And we had a whole litany of jokes, and it was good stuff. Because fun story, I worked at a Christian bookstore for a while in high school, and they had a whole section dedicated to anti-LDS stuff. It was a whole section. I kid you not. And so we would joke about that stuff constantly. It was always a source of pride. And I have a friend, Dave, whose last name I'm not authorized to mention, who I work with in San Diego, who was an agent friend of mine and a firearms instructor. And he actually did his mission in Brazil as well. I think his was probably long before yours. He's an older guy. So, yeah, fun stuff. So you guys are in the process of trying to get back to the States at some point. How's that going?
It's going, we think, dealing with the, and I'm sure, working on the federal side of things, sometimes there's a lot of bureaucracy and red tape and, unnecessary delays, especially with USCIS these days. So we think it's going.
Yeah, that was USCIS was my sister agency. I was Homeland Security Investigation. So we were the investigatory side of that. We all fall under DHS. And there's a lot of good people that work at CIS. And there's some that are just collecting a government paycheck. And sometimes I worry that's the reason this stuff isn't going very well. Why are you guys waiting in Brazil? Can't you just cross the border like willy-nilly these days? I don't understand why you're doing through all this paperwork. You just show up at the border and come in, right? Isn't that? No, you're doing it legally. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, trying to do it legally.
Yeah, it is a long process. My in-laws got naturalized not long ago, and the whole process is, and it shouldn't be easy, right? To get something as important as a green card and U.S. citizenship. But sometimes I wonder, people who finish that process, in my opinion, tend to know more about United States government and civics than most United States citizens, because stuff there you have to know to get through that process is more than we teach in school anymore, which is crazy. But anyway, enough about that. So you had not met Juliana when you went down for how long ago was your mission trip?
It was 2012 to 2014. So I didn't know her at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So you went back, you guys met. Did the story that we're going to talk about mainly involves Juliana? Did this story happen while you were together before you met?
Before we met. Yeah.
Okay.
In
2013.
Okay. So it's been 11 years. Okay. Which is fine. There's no time limit on a critical incident. So I don't know, however you guys want to kind of walk us through the story, if you want to take turns or one of you wants to kind of take lead, it's fine. Kind of walk us through where Juliana was, what she was doing and what happened. Cause it sounds like a very harrowing tale.
So, I remember I had to enter the internet cafe to do a job in computer. And I remember I was next to a computer typing an email. And when a man with a balaclava and coming in and said, it's a robbery. So everyone lies on the floor.
He also had a shotgun.
Okay. That's an important detail. Yeah.
And he said,
whenever you see a man with a balaclava walking anywhere, that's the first sign you've got trouble coming. But anyway, so the shotgun doesn't help. So he walks in with a shotgun and a balaclava, says, this is a robbery. So everybody gets on the floor. Is this commonplace, by the way? Is this something everyone's been through in Brazil, or is this still a pretty unusual event?
Yeah, usually the people do this and don't look at me and just look on the floor. Don't look at me.
Yeah, I would say there are a lot of people, probably most people, have been victims of crime in Brazil. Being taken hostage, I don't think so, but victims of crime, definitely.
Spoiler alert, hostage taking is imminent. Okay, so he's saying you stay on the floor, look at the floor, don't look at me. That's pretty standard. Even in Hollywood movies, that's a pretty standard thing, right? They don't want you to look at him, even though he's wearing a balaclava. So were you with anyone that you knew, Juliana, or were you kind of by yourself in this moment?
This moment,
She was by herself.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so what happens next?
So after he took the owner, the internet cafe, and as a hostage, and most of the time he was threatening
mm-hmm.
To shoot, and he wanted money all the time. I want just money and a car to leave after the theft. And
so he wanted money and he wanted somebody's car to get away in. Yeah. Is that what I heard? Mm-hmm. Wow, this guy did not plan this out. Okay.
Go on. He was scary, everyone. But I asked if I could send an email, and he said, be quick. And I sent an email for my old company, mm-hmm. but the workers didn't see the email. Because I was asking for help in the email.
Yeah, she was sending an email, in the process of sending an email to the previous company she worked for. Mm-hmm. She needed a document, I think. And she was in the process of it. And she said, hey, can I finish sending this email? And the guy said, yeah, be quick. And so she sent the email, but at the bottom she said, hey, I'm taken hostage in this internet cafe, like, help me. And unfortunately, nobody saw it until the next day. Yep.
I was going to say, I don't know. I answer my emails pretty quickly, but if you were being held hostage, sending me an email is probably not going to get you any immediate help. You know what I mean? Especially since the subject line wasn't like, being held hostage, !! That face emoji, you know, or whatever. In the email, you just added a line at the bottom that said, help. I'm being held hostage or being robbed at this internet cafe?
Yeah, I'm here held hostage, and I'm here in the internet cafe, and I put in the address, but mm-hmm. workers didn't see, but I did it.
So what ends up happening? First of all, I wanted to ask, how many other people are in this internet cafe at this time when you're there being held
around
hostage?
13 people.
Okay. That's a lot of people for the bad guy to keep track of. Was it just one bad actor, or was there another bad guy there with another gun?
Just one. And I remember the had a woman, old woman. She was very scary and
scared.
Scared in my side.
Right. So you send the email. I assume you get back down on the floor. What goes on after that?
What happened after?
I received a call from my dad, and the guy with the gun, and And he showed it.
Shouted.
Turn off your phone. But I did it. I turned it off. I answered the call of my dad and asking for help. Because he was every time he screamed, and I take the opportunity to talk on the phone very quietly. Yeah.
That's a great idea. So every time this idiot is yelling, you're whispering to your dad, "Cafe, I need you to get down here. This guy's..."
Yeah.
That's actually really smart. Something I wouldn't have thought of. Yeah, I think anyone who's seen a Hollywood movie or a TV show about a bank robbery, I think Heat was probably the biggest like robbery movie of my lifetime. Those sort of takeover robberies are actually, in the United States anyway, are actually pretty rare anymore because there's so many systems in place to prevent people from getting a lot of money doing that. Most bank robbers, I mean, the vast majority, as I understand it, just walk up to a teller with a note. So give me all, this is a robbery. I've got a gun. They never display a gun. So to walk an internet cafe, is this something that people can expect to have happen in their lifetime if they're living in Brazil, if they, you know, at any given time at a public place? Because I feel like what I heard from my friend who did a mission down there, where he worked in some of the favela areas, and he said you can't understand that how cheap life is for some people in the Brazilian society and how dangerous it really is. So I've never been to Brazil. I've only been to Central America, never South America, but I've been to Managua, Nicaragua, and I got a little idea of kind of what that's like. It's a very poor area and people don't have a lot of options. So as a non-crook citizen of Florianopolis, boom, nailed it again. How likely are you to go your whole life without being a victim of some kind of crime? I mean, how bad is it really?
Yeah.
Neither one of you can answer that.
I can answer it. You know how in America we say crime doesn't pay? In Brazil, it's the opposite. They say crime pays.
Right.
Okay. And that's because there's a lot of crime and a lot of people get away with a lot of crime here. I don't think hostage taking is as common in general. It's mostly like the crime you see is, say, you're walking down the street and, you know, there's not a lot of people. Two guys will roll up on a motorcycle. One guy on the back will hop off with a gun, rob you, and then get away. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of those videos on the YouTube channel as well.
Sure.
I would say, you know, again, crime like that is pretty common. There's also a decent amount of organized crime as well in Brazil, which I think, you know, separates it from some other countries. But yeah.
Yeah. Here in Florianopolis, so, very safe.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we look for a motorcycle, I was a little scary. Oh, we need to be careful.
Yeah. If you see two guys rolling up on a motorcycle, you always kind of need to have eyes in the back of your head.
I wouldn't let them out of my sight. And I've never been to Brazil, but I know enough. Anyone who's watched the channel long enough knows, yeah, two guys are they motorcycles? I feel like they're like moped kind of vehicles usually, right? Or no?
Yeah. They got to be like 100cc. And a lot of times they'll damage the muffler. So it sounds much louder and sounds like a much more powerful motorcycle. But yeah, they're little like Honda bikes.
I feel it's funny because anywhere else in the world, I'm going to say something, I'm going to get fired for this. Anywhere else in the world, two dudes riding tandem on a moped does not spell danger. It spells something, but it definitely doesn't spell danger. It's not the manliest look, I got to be honest with you. Two guys on a motorcycle, for that matter, it doesn't really matter. But down there, you see that, you know, your blood runs cold. You figure someone's about to get jacked, and I certainly hope it's not me. What about calling the police in Brazil? Because I have no idea. You know, I've worked a lot with the country of Mexico. Obviously, in my last job working the Southwest border, there were some good cops in Mexico, but they're vanishingly rare. And the system of corruption is just, well, it's just that it's systemic. There's corruption from the bottom to the top in the government. What's the situation like in Brazil as far as that goes? Do you bother calling the police? Do they respond? Are they helpful? Do they just show up and collect dead bodies? Or what's kind of, give me an idea of what that's like.
Yeah, usually the motor.
Yeah, they're slow.
They're slow. 20 minutes, depends of the states, depends your home, depends.
Yeah. The police here are most of them are federal police. And I think they're under like the Ministry of the Interior. So they're usually most of the police are better equipped. But yeah, they're really slow to answer. They're not always helpful. There is a good deal of corruption. There's a lot of stories of them just beating the crap out of people and leaving, you know?
Yeah. Especially in São Paulo, because it's very dangerous in São Paulo. And if just one police come here in the place, it's dangerous for them too.
Yeah. And when they go into the favelas, they'll roll up with like armored cars and stuff like that. And during the Olympics in Rio, they pulled up with tanks into the favelas. So there's certain parts of the city in São Paulo, it's especially like this, where the gangs there just control the area. So if you live in those areas or near those areas, the police aren't going to help you.
So let's, I mentioned the term favela and you just repeated it. So I think maybe there's people listening who have no idea what that means. I know generally kind of what it means, but you're there. So can you kind of explain for our good listeners and viewers, what is a favela and kind of what does it look like? What's the structure?
Yeah. So a favela is, you know, I guess we would call it a shanty town. And I would say there's kind of two different types. Some favelas have been around for decades and decades and decades, and they're a little more, they might even look like a regular neighborhood, but they're, you know, again, more dangerous. And again, the houses are not built to code or anything like that. So there's the houses will like fall down randomly or, you know, just break apart. And then there's ones that are literally like shanty towns where people kind of make their houses out of garbage or stuff that they could find. So, and you know, we're both familiar with the areas, and they're extremely dangerous.
So, let me ask you this, Scott, when you were on your mission, did you ever knock on any doors in those types of areas, or were they no-go zones? Cause I know my buddy Dave said he did end up frequenting a few of them, but he said it was never not entirely sketchy.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of the areas that you serve in, like I've served in really rich areas and really poor areas. So, it was never, never go there. But it was just be cautious when you do and don't go there at night. I went to one and a guy tried to rob me and I told him not to, and he didn't. But that's the only sketchy experience I had there. But obviously it's very dangerous. It's not a good idea to go there for the most part. But, you know, if there's people that need help there, obviously we'll go there.
Sure. I kind of picture some guy trying to rob Scott, and Scott's doing some kind of Jedi, LDS Jedi mind trick. Like, I'm not the victim you're looking for. And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry, never mind. I really didn't want to rob you today.
I think it may have more to do with the fact that I'm 6'7".
Yeah, he's tall.
It doesn't show up on camera maybe, but.
No, it doesn't. You look totally normal size next to your lovely, lovely bride. So, I mean, good thing it's not a wider shot, or I'd be terribly intimidated by Scott. So my understanding of the favelas in the times I've seen them on a documentary or whatever, where they show a wide shot, it's this massive, just huge area, this massive humanity. And the criminality inside of them is just really as insane as everyone says. It's that dangerous.
Wow. Yeah.
And does the government ever consider trying to do anything to fix any of it? Or is just it is what it is and it's been there forever, we can't fix it? Or is there any move at all to try to make things any better?
There have been times where they'll go in and like clear out favelas, especially ones that are like newer, like just a few years old. If they want to build something there or something, they'll have everyone clear out and they'll bulldoze it. But it's definitely a hot button issue where it's not very common. And there are some people that are very much for it. There's some people that are very much against it. So.
Okay. So back to the robbery. Never finished the robbery story. So last time we checked on you, you were face down on the floor. There was a very frightened lady next to you. There was a guy with a balaclava and a gun who apparently was acting alone. How did this resolve? What ended up happening? Did you end up giving him all your money? Did the police show up and shoot him? What happened?
So, it happened very quickly, and it was a pregunta, a preliminary name.
Yeah.
At the very moment, a couple entered in the internet cafe and had a woman and a man But the woman ran and the man stay because the guy with the gun appointed the gun for a man for a man, and he couldn't run.
Yeah, so a couple entered, and then he threatened the guy with the gun, and then his wife is able to get away.
And after a few minutes, the police arrived in the place, and he started negotiations with the guy. And after 1 hour and one and a half hour, we was free. Yeah, so, but
so the police got there while you were still in there with the guy with the gun, and he actually was negotiating with them, like, "I'll kill people if you don't let me go." Or what kinds of things was he saying to the police?
The police was looking through the door.
What did he say to the police?
He wanted money, and
News.
The news. He wanted news, he wanted police, just news, but for a hostage and money and.
So I mean, I'm curious if crime is that common, what made this guy think that his robbery of an internet cafe was something the news was going to be interested in coming down and covering? Very strange request.
Yeah, well,
they did end up showing up and had like a helicopter and stuff. So
no kidding. Yeah.
I think because the police usually will fight with the lutar con bandido. With the guy, and he was scary, and I just live here with the news because the police will
kill him.
Yeah,
kill him. Yeah, yeah.
So he wanted to leave with the news crew. Is that what I understand?
He said you're calling Amelia.
Yeah, he wanted.
So what ended up happening? Now I'm dying to know. Did the police arrest the guy, or did he rush off with KABC News, go back to the studio and hold them hostage too?
After the police told us this gun is fake, and he put in her army in the guy, and.
Yeah, so the police were looking in through like through the door and like trying to see what the situation was, mm-hmm. you know, and saw the guy, and then they noticed that the shotgun he had was a PVC pipe wrapped in electric tape, and they rushed in and took him down.
Oh wow, okay. So that leads me to the next question, which is how easy or difficult is it for an average person, assuming you have the means and the money or whatever, to buy one? What are the gun laws like? Can you just go out and buy a gun in Brazil, or is it you have to get it on the black market? How does that work, or do you know?
Yeah. You want me to answer? So for like a criminal, it's not that hard, right? And a lot of the guns they have are like, you know, junk, but it's not that hard if you are in that sphere. There's a, you know, again, a surprising amount of gun violence for a country that's very strict in their gun laws. Recently there have been some changes with the gun laws here in Brazil. It's a little bit easier to access a gun. Before, you had to be a police officer or a, you know, professional security guard to own a gun here. They're now, potentially going to change the law so you can also collect guns. And I don't know if that means you can have them in your house or not, or if it's just you can put them in the, you know, you keep them at the local gun club or something like that. So yeah, they're changing some of the laws. But we actually, when we first moved here, went shooting at one of the local gun clubs. So people can go and train. It's just expensive.
Okay, but you wouldn't compare it to the U.S., where, like, you know, you're from Utah. Everyone in Utah, I think you're issued a gun on your 10th birthday in Utah. So. But it's nothing like the U.S. where the gun culture is nothing like the U.S. where guns are prevalent. And like, I know, not everyone I know, but most people I know have at least a gun in their house. It's not like that.
Definitely not.
Okay. Very good. So listen, I think that kind of wraps up the story. Once we're done, don't hang up, because I have some more LDS jokes for you. I don't want to forget that are pretty good. Though they're not anti-LDS, by the way. I'm not one of those people. I was asking, is there anything you didn't mention you wanted to mention, or no? Are we all set?
No, I think we're good.
Perfect. Well, Scott and Juliana, like I said, don't hang up. When I say goodbye here, we're going to say goodbye to our viewers and listeners. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for being brave enough to tell your story. Our first Brazilian guest. Hopefully we'll have more. If you're listening in Brazil, we do have listenership in Brazil. So if you're listening and you have a story for us, don't be bashful. We do this on the internet, so you can call right in from anywhere. We can set up a call from almost anywhere. So I appreciate your time. Scott and Juliana, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.